Last night, the city manager of Ferguson, Missouri, John Shaw, stepped down, the city council voting unanimously to accept his resignation, following that Justice Department report that slammed the city's police and court system for unfairly targeting African Americans. But so far, the federal government has not taken over the city. Should it? What can Ferguson learn from Oakland, California? In Oakland in 2003, a lawsuit charged that a group of corrupt police officers known as the Rough Riders beat suspects, made false arrests. The city had to pay out almost $11 million. As part of the settlement, an independent monitor and a judge were appointed. A consent decree was imposed, meaning Oakland had to enact 51 reforms or be taken over by the federal government. But 8 years later, the department paid out almost $50 million more. And in 2011, Jim Channon, one of the lawyers behind the 2003 lawsuit, the other is John Burris, told a reporter that Oakland may well be the worst police department in the country. Well, today, Jim says, it took a lot of things, including following through on the threat of receivership or federal takeover, but the Oakland PD has largely turned around. Jim Channon is in San Francisco. Jim, take us back to 2011. You were pretty unhappy then because few of the 51 reforms required under the consent decree had been met.
Yes, I was very unhappy, but the failure of them to comply was a small part of the problem. At the same time, they were engaged in one unspeakable act after another. In 2003, they did what the New York Times called the most violent response to an anti-Iraq war demonstration in the country. In 2005, an officer was caught who had been for years pulling Asian women over and taking sexual advantages of them. In 2007, we had the warrants case where the police department itself admitted that 2 out of 3 of their drug warrants were based on false information or perjury. Then the strip search case where the OPD had a practice of stripping African-American men in public on the street when they wanted to search them for some reason. And then we had the Occupy case in 2011.
This was the Occupy protests. Police fired a beanbag at close range. It hit a 26-year-old Iraq War vet and shattered his skull. So the list of accusations against the police department continued. Then I want to move forward to 2012. When you make a trip to Detroit and a light bulb goes off.
Well, I remember getting on the plane leaving Detroit and thinking, I've just been to a city which makes Oakland look wealthy, and yet they were treating the same monitor we had in Oakland with respect. They were trying to comply with two consent decrees that were much more burdensome than the ones we had in Oakland. So the whole fallacy that I had been told by the officers here in Oakland for years that you don't understand, we have so much crime here and all the rest of this stuff, was really nonsense. So John and I decided to file the receiver motion, which would have placed the Oakland Police Department in receivership. And that case was settled with the appointment of a compliance director who had the power to fire the chief and to force changes on the department rather than just ask for them, which we had done for the previous 9 years.
Well, the other factor was you realized in Detroit you had a rank and file that really wanted to change. And you needed the person who could, you know, make the difference. It had to be, I mean, you're talking about legal actions, but you needed the human, and the human presented himself in the person of Sean Wendt.
Yes. The chief in Detroit, the first thing he told me was, we believe constitutional policing is the best policing. And I'd never heard that in Oakland. And when Chief Wendt was appointed, he also believed in constitutional policing. And I had never heard that in Oakland before. And between the receiver motion, the use of cameras, and the leadership of Chief Wendt, the department has turned around since 2012.
Talk about the use of cameras, because here's where Chief Wendt laid down the law with his officers. Tell us what he said.
What happened was they had the cameras, but then they were never using them. And I said, I'm going to have to go to the judge and ask the judge to order that if you have an event where the cameras aren't used, that the presumption will be against the officer rather than for the complainant to prove the case. And between Chief Wendt several of the deputy chiefs who went around and told them the lineups at OPD that there would be quote-unquote bone-crushing discipline if they didn't use the cameras. The cameras started to be used, and I think that's been a major factor for the OPD turnaround.
So in other words, you were saying to the chief that the presumption wouldn't be that the policeman was innocent if he didn't use a camera. The presumption would be that the policeman would be guilty until proven innocent. And you had a police chief in Sean Wendt who relayed that message. It sounds as if, I mean, it's, it was something we hear applied a lot to seemingly intractable situations, that it takes a person to come along to enact things.
Absolutely correct. And that's exactly what happened in Oakland.
As you, from your vantage point, look at what's happened in Ferguson and the request now to turn Ferguson around, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think in Ferguson, you have an African-American majority in that city. And not only can the Justice Department, if they can't get the city to cooperate and the same public officials remain in power, they also should consider putting the department into receivership. But the voters in Ferguson can elect people who will turn it around.
In other words, voting in people who'd be willing to hire a Sean Wendt.
Yes, they could do that.
Yeah. We understand that Oakland still has one of those 51 requirements left, and it has to do with traffic stops. A study revealed that African Americans, who make up only 28% of Oakland's population, account for about 62% of the police stops, but the yield from the stops isn't higher for African Americans than other groups. In other words, they're stopped even though the searches don't produce anything. Same thing we heard about Ferguson.
Well, it's very simple. If we don't do something about racial profiling more than we've done so far in Oakland, the consent decree will continue if John and I have anything to say about it. Judge Henderson, who is our judge in the consent decree, issued an order on December 12, 2012, that they have to resolve and reduce four things. And one of them, and the most important in our opinion, is doing something about racial profiling.
So still some problems in the Oakland PD. And yet, we're also seeing reports that after there were demonstrations after the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, the protesters were met by kind of a whole new Oakland Police Department.
That's correct. They practiced officer safety and found a way to do that by showing restraint, except in those instances where their officer safety was jeopardized. They didn't use lethal weapons at all. They used gas minimally. They used force minimally.
Well, I just want to mention Scott Johnson's article in Politico. We'll link listeners at hearnow.org. Ends with a pretty remarkable scene of city leaders in a program called Operation Ceasefire, which reaches out to some of the most hardened criminals and tells them that if you help us end crime, we'll help you. If you don't help us, we'll come after you. And there's a scene in which the assistant police chief, Paul Figueroa, took the podium and said to these hardened street fighters, our goal is not to just lock people up. We want you to thrive. We care about you and your children, and I love you.
We still have murders here in Oakland, but I think showing people that you care about them, especially people who have no one to care about them, is important, even if it turns around two or three. You have to try. You have to believe in the better part of people until you are proven wrong.
I just have to follow up, of course. As we've heard, police officers feel they can't afford that one moment where they're proven wrong for trusting someone.
No one is saying that these programs are an alternative to officer safety. Officer safety is of paramount concern, but it doesn't give you a license to do whatever you want, because I think it's been proven that that doesn't help officer safety, and it certainly doesn't help believing and practicing constitutional policing.
Jim Channon, civil rights lawyer who led a number of brutality lawsuits against the Oakland Police Department and is now working with the department. Jim, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.